If you missed it, right before the draft, former Minnesota Wild and now New York Ranger Derek Boogaard was found dead. Turns out the autopsy showed it was a mix, I believe, of oxycodone and alcohol. His brother had been arrested for supplying it to him. So in one case, you had an addiction to painkillers, which could be a huge, frankly, epidemic in sports. We may talk about that later this hour if we have time. Then you had a player who mentally was just a little unstable in Rick Rippon. To what extent, I don't know. I don't have personal knowledge of that. But he was let go by the Vancouver Canucks, or at least sent home, to deal with personal issues. So he didn't play much at all last year. He was all excited to join the Winnipeg Jets this year. Had signed a contract. They found him dead. Ripping somebody that dealt with depression. And then earlier in the week, Wade Belak, another NHL tough guy, had just retired. He was going to do some games for the Nashville Predators from a broadcasting standpoint. He was excited to do that. He was going to be on Battle of the Blades, their version of Dancing with the Stars that Kelly Chase was on. He was excited about that. And they found him dead in Toronto. Now, the circumstances behind that one are unknown yet. There hasn't been come out. What is it? Was he dealing with something mentally? Was there stuff in the body? I don't know. And I don't want to speculate on that one until we know. It's just that's not an avenue I want to go in terms of speculating. However, that's three, if we count Belak having just retired, basically three NHLers found dead. Now, what does the National Hockey League do about it? Folks, it looks, at least on the surface, as if all three are completely separate scenarios. Completely separate scenarios. One was a mental disease. It's treatable. One was a drug addiction. Still treatable. Both hard to deal with, especially if you don't know about it. And again, we don't know what happened with Belak. But is this cause for the National Hockey League to at least look for some kind of connection? And by connection, I don't mean tying three together. I mean anything similar where they might be able to implement something with the NHLPA to look for warning signs. Or will it be overreaction by a league that has always been reactionary, very less visionary, and much more reactionary? Well, that remains to be seen. But one thing we know is I've worked over the last 12 years now, going into our 12th season, so the last 11 years, if you count the lockout, with Kelly Chase, who left the playing surface and came right up to the radio booth. Kelly Chase is going to talk to us about this topic when we come back, and you're going to want to hear this interview. It's a little bit more than just about fighting in the game of hockey, a little bit more than that going on here. And Kelly's going to talk with us. You're going to want to stick around, and this is a good one for you. Stay tuned. Our interview with Kelly Chase is coming up next. Dealing specifically with the three deaths this summer that the NHL has been faced with, the death of Boogaard, Rippon, and now Belak. It's on the way. Stay tuned right here on KMOX.
Well, welcome back into the Sports Hub tonight, brought to you by Dave Sinclair Ford and Chris Kerber with you here on a holiday weekend. Glad to have you with us. And joining us now is my broadcast partner, Kelly Chase. And Chaser, a lot to be excited about from a St. Louis Blues standpoint, and we'll get to that maybe if we have some time in a little bit. But really, I wanted to bring you on to add some perspective for fans out there with some of the news of, you know, three players, a Derek Boogaard, a Rippon, Belak, that, you know, some untimely deaths for some very young people. Belak had just retired from the game of hockey. The other two were still playing, and they all kind of played a role somewhat similar to yours and how it was done. And I know you knew them as well, so right now, we're just kind of looking for some perspective and how to piece this together. When you've gotten the news that you've had at different times this summer, what has gone through your head?
Well, it's a sad, you know, it really is sad. I think every case is, well, completely different. They are completely different. I think when you're looking at a Derek Boogaard, I think he was a kid that, you know, he got, you know, some issues with the substances and was in the program and couldn't kick that habit. When you look at Wade Belak's case, that's still not been, you know, actually put out there and said for sure what's happened. But I mean, he was a healthy guy that everybody knew was in good spirits and good way with his life and everything. So, you know, we haven't heard exactly, you know, what happened there. And in Rippon's case, he's a kid that suffered from depression, and it's a terrible thing. I mean, It's a disease that's one of the most treatable diseases that there are out there. But unfortunately, you know, people are either embarrassed by it or there's lots of scenarios for different types of depression. So it seems like it's hit us all at once in one summer. But, you know, I think it's just one of those, you know, unfortunate things that have happened that sort of happened all at once. And for whatever reason, we lost some good young men. And I think that, you know, if there's anything that can be taken or learned out of it, I think that all of them, there's positive that we can take now and maybe help, you know, the game a little bit. I think that from the substance abuse standpoint, people suffer from that all over the place. From the depression standpoint, I think there's going to be some tools made available, and there are tools made available through the Players Association and through the league for guys that are for, you know, players that suffer from it. And Wade Belak's case, as I said, there hasn't been an official announcement yet, so I think it would be completely disrespectful to his family and poor journalism for me to start, you know, speculating on what exactly was the deal with Wade.
You know, when you look at these situations, Kelly, all three, as you mentioned, potentially very different, all three just from a timing standpoint, coincidental. But does it still, you think, give enough pause for the league and the NHLPA just to look for potential signs of things that may have been similar from an educational standpoint when dealing with players down the road?
Well, I think as we grow here as a league, and if we're really going to be serious about, you know, the types of, you know, where we want to be as a league and as far as, you know, how do we want to be looked upon? And I think that all of these things have to be almost like study cases, and how can we improve on it? I think that it's real important to learn from what's happened to these guys and to try and make things better. There's no question about that. I think, you know, I honestly, like, when we talk about that role, it seems like everybody's had a similar role. Certainly there's the anxiety with playing, and it happens to everybody. And that role, I think there's added anxiety when you know, got to prepare to fight every night. But also I think that what they're really going to look at is the damage that it could be doing to yourself. I think, you know, we've seen similar cases of guys that have, you know, lived a tough life after they've had that role. And I think, you know, the league, if they want to be serious about a league, is going to have to look at it. I'm certainly, you know, I'm not suggesting, I mean, right now you're penalized for fighting, and I'm not about to stand on a soapbox and say you should take it out, but I think the league is going to consider that. I think they're going to say, if we want to be serious and taken serious, we have to take larger steps to be maybe a little bit tougher on the penalties. And Curbs, I mean, I think you're starting to see more and more studies of things kind of gone awry in the fighting department, where you're starting to see some, you know, with all the concussions and all of the things. I mean, you look at MMA fighting, like, these guys, if for anybody in their right mind to think that these guys aren't going to suffer substantial damage to their brains when they're older, I mean, it's crazy the way these guys pound on one another. Yet we pay big bucks to go watch these fights, and 30 years from now, a lot of these guys are going to have a lot of problem feeding themselves the way that they're punching each other. So the league, I'm sure, is going to take a look at that and say, you know what, maybe we need to curb things a little bit. Maybe we need to be tougher with the penalties. Maybe we need to, because it all could evolve into being parts of these sort of case studies with these guys that have lost their lives early.
What about the emotional aspect, Kelly, of when you eventually start to separate yourself from the game? You're no longer going to the rink every day, whether it be maybe your role is diminished and you're looking for a team and you don't have anybody willing to sign you yet, or, you know, as you did before you and I ended up in the booth in 2000, where that was the end of the playing days and a new career starts. How do you and how do players kind of get past that daily emotion that they've had for their entire lives and now start onto something new?
Well, it's funny, you know, because I listened to Tyson Nash talk about that the other day and about how hard it was for him, and I never experienced that. I never had that same equation with me. I was, you know, I found it tough that management didn't want me to talk to the players and be around the players, and I still think that that's crazy. I think that that's a completely asinine approach. You're not playing no more, so we don't want you around the players. You know, you're in the media now, so it's got to change. Your friendships are your friendships. You don't ever lose them, and you don't. So, like, but I never really got so caught up in, I think you know me well enough to know that I was trying, I think I was preparing as I played later on in my career to be able to you know, have something when I was done and make sure that I was involved. And I wasn't sure what aspect I was going to go down, but I always made sure that I tried to, you know, pay attention from a business standpoint to things that were going on. And I tried to learn things, whether it be in the hockey side of it or in business. And I wanted to make sure that I had opportunities. And I know when you're done playing that the window of opportunity can close in a hurry. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, I give myself enough of a, I guess, a chance to become, you know, ready for the real world should it be there. It's still tough not to be in the locker room and be around, you know, the guys. That's the best part of the game. There's no question. But I think really, you know, the thing for me that was hard is when, you know, management all of a sudden says to you, well, you can't do this and we don't want you to do that, because your friends are your friends. And for me, that was the hardest part of it. You know, you're not going to be – I still was involved with the team, but yet I wasn't allowed to be around the guys at certain times. To me, that's completely nuts.
You know, you, though, are very much a self-motivator. That's how you became an NHL player. That's how you had a strong pro career. And even afterwards, with everything that you're doing, whether it be on a sales side, the business side, that's always been there for you. If that motivation isn't necessarily there for some of these other players as they start to exit their playing days and into another chapter of their life, Tyson Nash, and you brought his name up, some of the comments that he made, at least via Twitter, dealt with the responsibility of the NHLPA to help guys make the adjustment. Do you think that that opportunity is there, and do you think that there should be more from the PA standpoint in that role?
Well, I love Tyson, first of all. I want to say that, but I don't think he's very well informed. There's all those tools are there for you. The Alumni Association has great programs for you, and sort of the Players Association with continuing education, with all of the things that it allows you, with all the tools that are out there. If you're really motivated to get out there and find yourself something, then, you know, for me, Curbs, I look at it like every day that we played was a great day, and I didn't need to hang my hat on the National Hockey League. Once you play, people can forget about you in a hurry. So what you need to do is get on with your life. And I was not one of those guys that needed to be, you know, coming up and people telling you how it's great. You got a great, great team. You know, talk about hockey constantly. I really just thought I was fortunate to play a long time, and it was time for me to move on and find my way in a different avenue, and that's what I tried to do. I think there's lots of unfortunate situations, but it's like, you know, I was talking to other guys about Nash's comments, and I said, like, hey, I feel like I got shortchanged, you know, because my father died when I was young, for instance. And but at the end of the day, you can sit around and whine about it, or you can go and make something of yourself. So at the end of the day, I think all of those tools are there for the guys if they want to use them, and maybe there could be a different way of implementing them. But I think sometimes when you're playing, you never take a look around and go, you know, this could be over tomorrow. You don't do that. You think it's going to continue. And what happens with guys that do that, all of a sudden they get smacked in the head with a reality check going, my career's over, and now what am I going to do? And that's the issues. I think that's the toughest thing that guys have to try and live through, is the fact that, you know, now all of a sudden the reality is that, hey, you know what? I gotta go out and find some other way to get that fixed, some other way to get that adrenaline, some other way to make myself a better, you know, whatever it may be, motivate myself again to work, money situations. All of those things are important that you've got to get out there and get after.
You know, one more thing, Kelly, before we let you go, and thanks for joining us here tonight on the Sports Hub. We're joined by Kelly Chase. So much with the head injuries is becoming such a huge topic, and it is also still a topic that, because it is the brain, is still a very unknown topic. So you try to deal with what you know and make adjustments. We've seen the league address that somewhat slowly, I believe, frankly, in terms of how to address head hits. To legislate head hits are okay in one part of the ice but not the other, to me, is still, I didn't get that when they did it, and so now they've at least said, okay, head hits are out no matter where you are on the ice. But again, it's, you have to be somewhat reactionary to them. Do you think, even though, as you mentioned early on, that the deaths of Bugard, Rippon, and Bielak, albeit could be three completely, totally different scenarios, but are still an eye-opening thing for the league, that too quick of a reactionary process might actually go and be detrimental versus making sure that really everything was understood before you implement things that are needed?
Well, as you say, first of all, they are three completely different cases. But at the end of the day, I think Brendan Shanahan's got the toughest task he's going to have. I told him, you never needed Tony Twist and I more than you need us right now, buddy, because he's got some real tough decisions to make. You know, and the biggest decision he's going to make, if and when, and I understand he's not doing great, Sidney Crosby comes back to play, the stamp that he puts on the first guy that hits him near the head is going to determine a lot of how effective and serious the league is about protecting their players. That's the first thing. Now when you get talking about Bogaert and Rippon and it, you know, Kurt, it's three completely different cases. We're talking about, you know, a disease in one case. We're talking about drugs in another case, and we're not sure what we're talking about really yet in Belak's case. But at the end of the day, I think you got to understand that, you know, there's people in everyday life that have these same issues, and we just happen to collectively lose three in our league at the same time. And unfortunately, they had similar roles. But I don't think that any of them are correlated with one another. And to be honest with you, I'm not so sure. Like, I know that it can't be healthy for you to be hitting the head a lot. I mean, we're talking about concussions. We're talking about. But I don't think that that has anything to do with the deaths of these guys, to be honest.
Well, that's some great stuff from Kelly Chase on a topic that probably hasn't gotten enough notice and mention, as maybe it should, but we'll see what eventually comes out. As we know, we really don't know the circumstances surrounding Wade Belak. We've got to take a break and get you updated with the Window World Sports Express. We're going to go back to baseball when we come back.